are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball!
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Pistons podcast. I want to thank all of you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every day. We are free and available on all platforms, and as soon as I make my return from Chicago and get back home, we will be likely making our debut on YouTube at Locked On Pistons. I'll be sure to let you guys know when that happens. But if this is your first episode of your listening to Locked On Pistons, I'm your host, per usual, Kuka Hill. You can find me on Twitter at Kuka Hill NBA. You can find me on YouTube at Kuz Ballroom. You can also find me over at Detroit Bad Boys writing articles about the Pistons. And on today's podcast, we're going to start off talking about some of these Ben Simmons rumors that have been circulating over the past weekend. So first, let me say that I didn't really get to see much of these rumors. I didn't see many of them. I'm in Chicago, if you guys don't know. I told you guys last week, but if you guys didn't know, I'm in Chicago with my fiance on an interior design convention trip, because he's an interior designer, of course. So I'm over here just enjoying my time. I got a bunch of tweets from a lot of you guys saying, you know, Ben Simmons is being rumored, or the Pistons are being rumored and being interested in Ben Simmons. I'm like, okay, can you guys tell me what's going on here? And then I saw the report, and there's like six teams. I saw the report that you guys all saw. There's six teams, and one of the teams that they said had called up Philadelphia to see what was up with Ben Simmons were the Detroit Pistons. So we kind of talked about Ben Simmons earlier in the summer, but I have no problem talking about him again here. Should the Pistons be interested in Ben Simmons? My short answer is no, they should not be interested in Ben Simmons. But I guess I should kind of talk about my thoughts of Ben Simmons as a player itself. He's obviously a really good player. I think these past playoffs, it's allowed people to get way too off on him, and the balance has completely shifted too far one way. Like, does he have things he needs to improve on? Yes. Does he need to become some kind of a shooter? Probably. Does he need to be more aggressive? Yes. Did he need to, you know, improve his confidence and aggressiveness? Probably. He has multiple things to improve on, but this is a dude who's been on an all-NBA team. This is a dude who was damn near Defensive Player of the Year twice already now. He's an incredible playmaker. Like, this dude is an incredibly talented player, one of the best players in the league, probably top 40 player in the league, I think. Top 40, you could probably make an argument possibly that he might be top 30, 35. And when he's at his best, I mean, he was all NBA member, so not too long ago people thought of him as a top 20 player. So he's a pretty damn good player, that's first. And if the Pistons could just have him on their team, I would be all for it. Ben Simmons is a player that I think almost any team would like to have Ben Simmons. No matter what people say about him, you can slide, if you use him correctly, he's just an overall good player. So you're able to use him. You want good players in your team. He's an incredibly smart player, incredibly versatile defender. It's just about how you want to use him offensively. But either way, if the Pistons could just have him, of course I'd be happy about having him. But let's go ahead and talk about why I don't think they should be interested in him. So the first reason why is obviously because of his contract. So his contract is, it's a good thing for some teams, but bad thing for another. So he's currently in the second year of a five-year contract that he signed with the Philadelphia 76ers, it's a max. He's in the second year of it. He has one, two, three more seasons to go. He becomes a free agent in the 2025 offseason. So for some teams, that is a really good thing. You have a player that you're trading for who's locked up long-term. You don't have to worry about him leaving. You don't have to worry about him leaving free agency. You don't have to worry about having to trade him before he leaves. You don't have to worry about any of that. You have him locked up for multiple years down the line, which is really good for a lot of teams when you're considering trading for a star. Having him locked up is a mega deal. Trading for someone that has, you know, is going to be free agent next season or the free agent in two seasons, it kind of lowers their value and makes a lot of teams scared to go after them. So that is a good point, a good thing for a lot of teams. But for the Pistons, I don't know if that's necessarily a great thing right now, and this is why. So, like, if the Pistons were in, I don't know, let's say they were in, like, year three or year four of the rebuild, I absolutely would be all over this. I'd be like, listen, Ben Simmons is a great player. If you can get him, go get him. And because he'd match up well with Jeremy Grant, who would be, like, 28, 29 at that time. Killian Hayes would be in his third season. Kate Cunningham would be, like, in his second, third season. They would be farther down the rebuild. They'd be more mature. They'd be better, and they'd be ready for this kind of step that trading for Ben Simmons would take you. Trading for Ben Simmons is not a, okay, we're going to get Ben Simmons, now we're going to continue to rebuild for the next two or three seasons, then we'll finally attack. Ben Simmons is ready to win now. He's the kind of player that if you get him, he helps you win now. you're ready to try become something in the playoffs. And I think if the Pistons were farther down the line, then I would be all for this. Obviously, the next thing is that he's getting paid $33, $35, $37, and $40 million over the next few years. That's a hell of a lot to pay for him. No matter how good of a player I think he is, he's probably overpaid at this point. A lot of players, I feel like, at the top are overpaid. You get max contracts basically for anything. I think a lot of players get paid way too much. But he gets paid way too much for the Pistons, for sure, because the Pistons have been eyeing that. We've talked about it many times in the podcast. They're eyeing that 2022-2023 season, that after that season, that 2023 offseason, where they're going to have a ton of cap space. Players are going to be in their third, fourth season, second, third season with Cade, and you know the rest of the guys, they're in fourth season. Torrey was probably going to have added another rookie or so this season to be a part of the core. Jeremy Grant will still be here, but they're going to have a ton of cap space that season, and that's when I believe, and I believe a lot of us believe, that they're going to try and make a big, they're going to try to take a big swing in free agency or in a big trade that takes on a lot of salary. I think that's when they want to make their move, which makes sense for them to make their move then. But trading for Ben Simmons would absolutely hurt that. He'd take away a lot of that cap space, obviously, because he'd be making $35 million that offseason and $37 and $40 million the next two seasons after that. And is Ben Simmons really the player you want to take that big swing on? I'm not sure. It depends how you feel about him. I don't think he is. He's 25 right now. So like I said, if the Pistons were in like year three or four of the rebuild, I'd be all for it because I feel like they would then be, would be ready to take this kind of swing for a player like Ben Simmons. He'd slide in nicely with young guys who would be about 21, 22, 23 years old. He'd fit in nicely with Jeremy Grant, who would be like another veteran of the team, one of the best players on the team to help lead them to the next step they want to go to. So yeah, basically it comes down to if this was a few years down the line, I'd go get him. I'd be all for it because Ben Simmons is a great player. But right now, it just doesn't make sense right now for the Pistons contract-wise. It doesn't make sense for the Pistons timeline-wise. And it probably doesn't make sense for Ben Simmons timeline-wise either. I don't think he wants to go to a team that's going to be ready to, you know, just start rebuilding still, or restoring, I guess I'd just say, over the next few years still. And you already see what he's doing with the Sixers right now. Do I think he'd do that for a team if he showed up to a team and they weren't, like, championship contenders? No. But I think he's willing to tank his value, or I think he's shown the willingness to do what he has to do to get what he wants, which is a good and bad thing, obviously. But either way, I don't think the Pistons should be interested in him. If you guys think they should be, or if you have any other ideas about it, make sure you go ahead and let me know on Twitter at CougarHillNBA or in the reviews down below. I'd love to hear it. But like I said, as of right now, I don't think the Pistons should be interested in it. It doesn't make much sense from last standpoint. If it was a few years down the line, then I would be all over it and telling them to go after them. Also, I don't think they really have the pieces to trade for for Ben Simmons anyways without giving up things the Pistons want to keep, and matching salaries would be tough as well. So it is what it is. We'll see what happens, but I don't think the Pistons are any serious contenders for Ben Simmons. But anyways, coming up, we'll talk a little bit about some of the quotes Dwayne Casey has said over the weekend while I've been in Chicago. Mostly a quote that hints at what his starting lineup is going to be and how they want to play. I'm going to talk about how I hope that they play with this starting lineup and how they play overall as a team. We'll talk about that coming up. But before we get into that, let me tell you guys again, thank you for making Locked Out Pistons your first listen of every day. You can find us on all platforms. And like I said at the beginning of the podcast, you may be finding us on YouTube by the end of the week at Locked Out Pistons. I'll be letting you guys know soon on that. But first, let me tell you about some of our sponsors before we get into that starting lineup. First up, let me tell you about Sleeper. In 2018, the fantasy sports experts at Sleeper realized that fantasy basketball was broken. Games were being won and lost based on whose players had more scheduled games that week. It made no sense and required very little strategy and made it more about luck. So in 2020, Sleeper released a brand new way of playing fantasy basketball, and it's called Game Picks, and it's only available on Sleeper. In Game Picks, owners pick a single game per week for each starter to count towards their team's total score, ensuring an even number of games played between opponents. The days of losing because your opponent's player simply had more scheduled games to play in that week are over. The days of mindless daily busy work are over. The days of giving up halfway through the season because of that busy work, also over. In Game Picks, you pick one game per week for each player based on player matchups, home versus away, opponent's defensive ranking, pace of play, and more. All of that adds up to more strategy, less busy work, and a lot less luck. Whether you prefer a redraft, keeper, or dynasty, Game Picks has you covered. Sleeper cracked the fantasy basketball code, and if you play fantasy football like I do, and you prefer building out a weekly strategy versus daily busy work, you're going to love Game Picks. Download the Sleeper app and start your league with your friends today. You will not be disappointed. Sleeper's one-of-a-kind game picks is the most strategic fantasy basketball experience in the industry. So if you want to play fantasy basketball this season, make sure you go download Sleeper and give game picks a try. Now let me tell you about another one of our sponsors, DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends logged in for all the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment that you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. Yes, that's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Go to DirecTV.com to try out and check out DirecTV Stream. So, I feel like the big topic of the main subject of the Pistons offseason amongst fans has really been the Killian Hayes and Cade Cunningham backcourt. But if you had to go right after that, I feel like something that has been talked about all offseason and kind of got ramped up even more after media day and a few days of training camp was, what's the Pistons starting lineup going to be? What's these lineups going to look like? What's the bench lineup going to look like? Who's going to get the minutes? What's the rotation going to look like, etc.? And I believe a lot of that's going to be determined by preseason play, of how they play in training camp, and obviously throughout the season if someone starts sneaking it up, someone else will get a shot. But I think it's going to be determined as we go. So I think we'll have a good idea of the backup lineup, who's going to get the majority of the rotational minutes, or who's going to get in when, etc., based off preseason performance, because there is a lot of tight battles, especially at the backup wing spots with Josh Jackson, Frank Jackson, Hamidou Diallo, and a bunch of other guys. So we'll see about those rotational battles in the preseason, I believe. However, your starting lineup, I think, is pretty interesting as well, and a lot of people have been talking about it. And really, it's just about, I think all of us have accepted that the Pistons are going to start Killian Hayes and Cade Cunningham in the backcourt. I want them to. It sounds like Dwayne Casey really wants to. And it sounds like just everyone in the organization wants to give it a try. Reportedly, Killian Hayes has been, quote-unquote, turning heads at training camp, which is really good to hear. It could be just coach talk or trying to hype up a player. We've seen that happen before. But it could be legit as well. We've also seen that be legit. When if a player gets praised like that, it may actually be legit. So we'll have to wait for preseason, which is in a few days from now, and we'll see if that's actually something going on. However, anyways, Dwayne Casey gave us a little bit of a hint of what we're going to be seeing in these lineups. So he was quoted by saying, I think we're going to have probably two different units. One, a younger unit that's going to bring energy, and the second unit will probably have more experience. So from my perspective, that sounds like he's basically saying the starting lineup is going to be a lot younger, and the bench unit is going to have more experience, which makes a lot of sense. In the starting lineup, even if you don't count the center position, which I think is the only position that's up in the air, you got two draft picks that were from last year in Killian Hayes and Sadiq Bey. You got one from this year in Cade Cunningham. And then you got Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant will be the only elderly guy there, and he's only like 27 years old, pardon me. But either way, he'd be the oldest one in that unit. So if they're going with a younger unit in that starting five, I think that almost completely shows you that Isaiah Stewart's going to be the starter in that starting lineup over Kelly Olynyk. And then the bench unit, you'll have people like Josh Jackson, Hamidou Diallo, Kelly Olynyk, just a little bit of older guys, like Dwayne Casey said, to show experience. So if they're going to play that way, and this is what I really wanted to get to. So, one, I'm happy that they're going to go with this decision. I was having a little bit of an argument with myself. You guys have listened to me go back and forth on it at the starting five between Isaiah Stewart and Kelly Olynyk, which would be better for Killian Hayes and Cade Cunningham in the backcourt. But, you know, I'm happy to see that the Pistons will have Killian Hayes, Sadiq Bey, and Isaiah Stewart from just one draft already in the starting lineup a second season in. And then you also got another rookie in the starting lineup in Cade Cunningham. So the team is really young. They're focusing on that young core. And it's going to be really cool to see. Just like I said, to see four guys that you've drafted in the last two seasons already be in the starting lineup is pretty dope. The Pistons were not here a few years ago. Like before Troy Weaver got here, the future was looking real rough. It was looking tough. We were overrating a lot of prospects for the Pistons, even though I'll maintain how I felt about Bruce Brown. I think he's shown pretty well. But either way, we were overrating a lot of prospects, and it was not looking bright for the Pistons. It wasn't like this. It was a lot of old guys that just couldn't really get to going. Like, it was bad. And now for it to be just two seasons later, you got four guys in the top in your starting lineup that are all first or second year players, all of them being really good prospects, one of them being the first overall pick of this past draft. Like, it's really fun, and it's cool to see. But what I really wanted to talk about is that how I think that starting lineup should play. So I'm going to beg, and it's something that I couldn't take it. When the Pistons had DeLon Wright still on the team, it made my viewing experience absolutely horrific when I had to watch him play with anybody, whether it was the backups, the starters, it was overall, everything was just awful watching him play with the Pistons because he just slowed down everything. He never wanted to play fast, and even when you were on the break, he just seemed like he wasn't really on the break. He just slowed things down, and that was for a large majority of the season. And then I even felt in the second half of the season, once he left, the Pistons didn't completely take advantage of their youth and their athleticism like they should. So, just for example, these stats are going to be coming from Synergy. So, the Pistons ranked 11th in points per possession in transition. That's really good. They were really good in transition when they actually did push in transition. And overall in the half court, they were 27th in the NBA. They scored 0.937 points per possession. Synergy ranks that as poor. They were awful in the half court. In the half court, they just couldn't get anything going, which is typical for a young team if they don't know how to, like, if they're just not as good as the other team. Obviously, it's going to be harder to score in the half court. Defenses are set, especially for a younger team, if they're not as talented, it's going to be harder to get shots up, good shots up, and to have a really good half court offense. And the Pistons, for half of the season with DeLon Wright, refused to push in transition when he was on the team. It was awful to watch. And then also, in the second half of the season, I still feel like I still don't feel like they really took advantage of it. But my point is, they ranked 11th when they did do it, and the points per possession when they actually did do this, they ranked 11th in the NBA, which is pretty damn good. Now, in total possessions per game of transition, they dropped down to 18th. That's not good. That they shouldn't be doing that. With the young guys that they got, the type of ball handlers they have, guys like Killian Hayes, Kay Cunningham, guys who like pushing the tempo, Hamidou Diallo, Josh Jackson, like the whole team. The Pistons should be a fast team. And there's an ambulance passing by. I don't know if you guys can hear that. I'm sorry if you can. We're in downtown Chicago where I'm at right now. We're in the Warwick Allerton Hotel. I don't know if any of you guys ever heard of that. But yeah, it's right in the middle of downtown. You hear everything that flies by. So apologies for that if you did hear that. But my point is, the Pistons, when they are in transition, obviously show that they're good. And they show that that's when they're best at. I mean, we talked about with Sadiq Bey a few podcasts ago that he was in the 90-something percentile in transition simply because he knows how to run wing to wing and knows how to find his open spots. If you have a player like that mixed with guys who like running straight towards the basket, and Hamidou Diallo, Josh Jackson, and ball handlers like push and find that open guy, the Pistons, and they're extremely young, they should be doing this nonstop. Like, they should be doing it a lot. That's how they should get the majority of their buckets. And for them to be 18th in the league in possessions per game for a team that's not that talented yet and not that good in the half court, it's going to lead to some sloppy basketball and some nasty basketball to watch offensively. So I'm going to beg this season, especially with the starting lineup that we're supposedly going to be getting, and just the overall young and depth of the roster that likes to go in transition. It's not just the starting lineup it's going to be. It's a lot of people off the bench who are really good in transition as well. The Pistons should just be a really fast team. And I hope that they go from 18th to top 10 in transition. I hope they jump and pace a play. I hope they jump in transition points per possession, go from 11th to like top 10 as top 8 as well. Let's try to get up into the top 10 in both possessions and points per possession, because that's really where the Pistons should be at, and that's where they're going to make their money at. Like, for example, before we end the segment, the Milwaukee Bucks just won the championship, right? They led the league in transition points, transition possessions per game. They were also second in the NBA in the points per game in transition. They're only behind the Washington Wizards. But yeah, my point is that if you can just push in transition and get easy buckets, obviously going to transition well for you. If you look at the top 10, like all these other young teams like seem to understand that as well. They made it easier for themselves. Like the Pelicans were 8th in the league in possessions per game in transition. The Houston Rockets 7th. The Charlotte Hornets 6th. The Memphis Grizzlies 4th. The Wizards, 2nd. Like, I feel like, and then the Oklahoma City Thunder, 11th. The Kings, 12th. Like, I don't get why the Pistons weren't so, like, I'll just simply say, I hope the Pistons are this fast next season. I hope they just come out in preseason, play fast. I hope they come out in the regular season, play fast, and try to get easy buckets, because that's where the Pistons got to make their money, because I think they're going to struggle again in the half court for the next few seasons. They really should just focus on trying to get out and run, especially with how young their team is and how their play style of each player seems to fit that of a transition team. So let me know what you guys think about that in the reviews down below or on Twitter at CookieHillNBA or on at Lockdown Pistons. Let me know what you guys think about how the Pistons should be playing. Do you guys agree with me? They should be pushing in transition a lot more than they did last season. Do you think they should stay in the half court more for some reason? If you guys disagree, let me know all that down below or on Twitter at CookieHillNBA or at Lockdown Pistons. But again, I want to thank you guys for making Lockdown Pistons your guys' first listen of every single day. We're on all platforms. You can view us anywhere. And like I said multiple times already on the podcast, you can find us on YouTube as soon as I return back to Michigan from my trip to Chicago. We'll be making our transition over there. I'll be sure to let you guys know as soon as it goes live. But make sure you guys stay tuned for the upcoming conversation I'm about to have in the final segment. I went to a Bears-Lions game, I believe by the time you guys listened to this, yesterday or 2 days ago, on Sunday. I went to the Bears-Lions game at Soldier Field, and it had me thinking to myself that, you know, I saw how bad the Lions were, and I've been seeing how bad the Lions are. I've been thinking to myself, who should you bet on possibly winning a playoff game first? Like, not even a playoff series for the Pistons, but just a playoff game. Who will win a playoff game first in the next few years? The Detroit Lions or the Detroit Pistons? We'll talk about that coming up. But before we get into any of that, let me tell you about one of our sponsors and your guys' favorite sponsor, Built Bar. The best-tasting protein bar on the planet Earth comes a variety of flavors, including 6 new flavors in caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. They also have a ton of other flavors, such as coconut, mint brownie, raspberry, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, and German chocolate. Each one of these bars are covered in incredible-tasting chocolate and are soft and easy on the teeth to chew. These bars are low in calorie and sugar, but high in protein and fiber. The flavor I suggest is the peanut butter flavor, packed with 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams net carbs. So go try the Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. So, who will win a playoff game first between these two Detroit sports teams, the Detroit Lions or the Detroit Pistons? Now, obviously, a lot of people will always say the Pistons, because the Lions just haven't won a playoff game since 1991. It's been a long time. They've never had success, really, in their franchise's history. It's been a tough existence for the Detroit Lions and their franchise. It's been pretty tough. But growing up, and for the past few years, I had always said I would bet the Lions to win a playoff game first before the Pistons. And my reasoning was always, one, the Lions have the best player out of anyone on the team, and that was Matthew Stafford. And then two, in football, I feel like it's much easier, and not feel like, actually, I know. I know it's much easier to be able to go from worst to best, and you only have to win one playoff game. You see teams, it's just a matter of who's feeling the best that day. In the NBA, it's usually, you know, the best team usually always wins. I don't know if you can always say that about football. You've seen a lot of upsets happen in the playoffs because it's simply a one game, and a lot of things can factor into it, like weather, depending on where you go to play at, a random injury within a game. NFL, I feel like, is more randomness than the NBA is, and it's easier to go from worst to best in football. That's always been my thought, so I've always picked the Lions because I just thought they had the best shot simply because of the sports they play and the league they play and the type and the way the league goes over there in the NFL. So my answer had always been the Lions, but after watching the Lions the past few weeks and watching this game in person, I have shifted to the Lions will be probably the last team in Detroit to win a playoff game. I don't even watch hockey, and I don't even really watch baseball, even though I've been kind of getting into baseball more now. The MLB The Show has been on Xbox. I've been actually really interested in baseball. I've watched more baseball games probably in the last few months than I've ever watched, and I haven't even watched that many the last few months. It's more than I've ever watched in my life. But anyways, my point is the Lions are so piss poor and just so awful that I don't see them winning a playoff game. Like I don't know when the hell they're gonna win a playoff game. So I think the answer is obviously the Detroit Pistons now. Like I said, it hadn't always been where I was at, and obviously I think a lot of it has to do with the Lions no longer having Matthew Stafford, because like he'd make teams that are like 2-14 talent wise or 3-13 talent wise like 500 ish, and they'd squeeze into the playoffs every now and then at 9-7. So I thought that, you know, with them squeezing in, they'll probably have more cracks at the apple while they had Stafford, you know, get into the wild card and potentially upset somebody, while the Pistons won't have that shot to make the playoffs, I believe, for like another possibly 3 years, maybe 4 years. I'd say 3 years. But yeah, I've completely shifted away from that with Matthew Stafford not being here and seeing how bad this football team is. Like, I watched Jared Goff. I watched the center hike the ball to Jared Goff as he's walking up to him off the chest and fumble the ball. Like, it's just, it's not going to happen. It's just not. I'm sorry. The Lions are just not going to win anything for a long time. And, you know, I've listened to other people who are older than me tell me that, you know, we haven't watched the Lions win in years, our whole entire lives. I hope that's not the case for me, because I really don't want to have to deal through what they – But the Pistons, they have Kate Cunningham. They got the first overall pick. They have a great young core thus far in Killian Hayes, Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart. You know, you can include Hamidou Diallo in that as well. You can include Kay Cunningham. I mean, even if you want to, heck, you can include Josh Jackson, Frank Jackson. Like, you can include all these guys. And they're all young, and they're in the top of the young core. I think it's pretty damn good, especially the first overall pick. Once you get to that, it pretty much solidifies you as one of the best young cores in the league, I think. Also, you have a great GM, I think, so far that's shown, or I guess I'm not going to call him great thus far, but I think he's shown that he can become a great GM, or he may be a great GM with his talent, or his eye test for talent, the way he's able to identify it and get the guys he wants and identify who's going to be good, who's not. Again, we'll continue to go back to Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, guys who slid in the draft, specifically Isaiah Stewart, guys who he got laughed at for picking and now has become, I believe in Bleacher Report's last redraft, was like top five in the redraft. I think he was actually drafted fourth. So it's, you got a good GM, you got a coach who's going to, no matter how, I've disagreed with a lot of things Dwayne Casey does, and I've criticized him a lot, but he's better than anything the Lions have had over the last few years. And Dan Campbell, I believe in him as the Lions coach. I actually do really like him. I think he could become the coach of the future. I really do like Dan Campbell. I'm a fan of his. But as of right now, if you'd give the Pistons a great GM and a good young core and then a decent to good coach for this era, I think they're going to get to a spot where they're ready to win a playoff game and ready to make the playoffs. Heck, even make the playoffs before the Lions do. And I know the Lions, they added an extra playoff spot in the NFL, so it should be easier for the Lions to make it there. But I don't see that happening. I know I've said earlier in the podcast that, or earlier in the segment, that, you know, in the NFL, it's easier to go from worst to first. Not the Lions, not this Lions team. For other teams, maybe, but not this Lions team. This Lions team has just got awful, and they won't be going to first or second or third for a long time. So I think it's easily the Detroit Pistons who will win the first playoff game between these two teams. I might have to ask some of the Locked On people over at for the Red Wings channel if they're I don't know if there's a Locked On Red Wings channel, but I know there's a Locked On Tigers one. I'll go check. Have to go ask them and ask, do they think that they'll win a playoff game before the Pistons? Because right now I think the Pistons are probably in the best spot from an outsider's point of view of the baseball and hockey team. The Tigers, didn't the Tigers get close to making it this year? I believe they did. I believe they had like a hot streak when they almost made it. But either way, I think the Pistons beat out the Lions. I think the Lions are by far the last in the league. And that argument that I used to have with fans or have with myself about who would win a playoff game first, it's not even an argument anymore, because the Lions are just that bad and the Pistons are trending in that good of a direction. But if you want me to be honest, it's less about the Pistons' good direction and more about how awful the Detroit Lions are. So is what it is. Let me know what you guys think. Do you guys think the Pistons are the team, or the next Detroit team out of the Tigers, Red Wings, Lions, and Pistons to win a playoff game? What about, who do you think is going to be the first team to make the playoffs out of those four teams? Let me know all that in the reviews down below, or at Locked On Pistons, or at Kukahill NBA. That's all I've got for you guys today. Thank you guys for listening. I apologize for any audio that you guys may have heard in the background out on the street. I know that this is not my, I hope you guys understand this is not my normal setup. I'm in a hotel in Chicago. I don't have, like, I got my mic to sit in front of me. I don't even get my mic set up. I just brought my mic itself. I got sitting in front of me. So we doing what we got to do. I'll be back on Thursday, hopefully. I believe I'll be back on Thursday night. So you guys will get Friday's episode back in my house. But until then, I'll be here recording in this little corner of a desk. I thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. I'll catch you guys in tomorrow's episode. Have a great day, everybody. Go Pistons. I'll see you guys later.